What is going on, 1 week season fam? JM to win here. Welcome to the first lesson of the NFL Profitability Masterclass. Our goal in this course was we wanted to think about if you were spending $125 an hour for DFS coaching, for one-on-one DFS coaching, what are the things that we would want to cover? And in thinking through that, if we were doing 20 hours, if you were spending $2,500, you know, those last 8 to 10 hours, we might be looking directly at your rosters and hammering down on what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong on specific rosters. But before we got to that point, we would spend 8 to 10 to 12 hours working through getting down to the foundation of your DFS play and essentially tearing things down. I think of it like this. Somebody who's self-taught in something, they can get pretty good at it, but they end up building in a lot of errors. And because they've gotten pretty good at it, they don't fix those errors. And so we would try to get down to the foundation of what you need, not only for DFS and sports betting, but things that would help you in all areas of life. And so we would spend the first 8 to 10 to 12 hours focusing on those things. And that's what we wanted to do in this course. So through these 5 videos and 4 written sections, and I think we have 4 or 5 audio supplements, and we have a couple worksheets, and basically wanted to hit on everything that I would hit on with you if you and I were sitting down together. And so we wanted to put this together. You know, people have asked me for years about DFS coaching, and from my perspective, it's inefficient use of time and funds on both ends. You know, for me to sit there for 20 hours with you, I can make $2,500 doing something else at that time. And for you to spend $2,500 when we could package this in a different way and kind of get this information directly into your hands is more worth it for you to do it this way. And so we wanted to think about how we could put together essentially a coaching packet that you have in hand that you can start becoming a DFS player, a sports bettor who has essentially what I wrote down was making consistently profitable moves. Another way I wrote it down was we want to teach you to be in position to have a high mathematical probability of being profitable over time. So we're going to talk about a lot of the things that go into that long-term thinking, how to build a process, how to assess the process, which is something that gets asked about a lot when we're talking about, well, I'm playing something that's maybe a 1 in 50 chance of hitting, but I'm getting a 30 to 1 or I'm getting a 70 to 1 payout on this thing that's 1 in 50 chance of hitting. So if I played this bet over time, I'm going to make money, but you also might lose 49 times before you hit. And so you need to understand how to assess your process, make sure that you're on the right track in these areas. So I'm going to actually kick off with a story that kind of leads us down to this deeper level. And it started with one fruit fly, and it came in, maybe there was two, and we noticed it buzzing around. And then within a few days, we had 2 or 3 fruit flies. And then after a few days, it was 10 to 12 fruit flies. And, you know, William is 16 months old, 17 months old. Our living room's on the 3rd floor of our townhouse, and we've got balconies. He likes being able to go in and out, so we'll leave the door open. And we just thought, well, this comes with the territory of leaving these doors open as these fruit flies come in and out. And Abby set out some cider traps, you know, with the soap in it, and they weren't catching any of the fruit flies. And it was like, well, this will blow over, right? And we went out of town. This was this summer. We went out of town for about 11 days. And we went to New England to see my family. And then from New England, Abby and William flew on to Tulsa to see her family. And I flew back home for a little bit to get some work done before going to Tulsa, like a week later. And when I got home, there were hundreds of fruit flies. And I would move a glass and like 5, 6, 7, 8 would just fly up. And then 2 wouldn't have flown up because they were on the counter having sex. They were just having the best time. And so I started researching like how to get rid of fruit flies. I got sticky traps on Amazon. I was baiting the sticky traps with all sorts of different things. And I started counting. I was catching like over 50 fruit flies a day. And so I'm getting rid of the fruit flies and then find like, what are they feeding on, right? Because they're not as attracted to these traps as I need them to be. And there was no fruit. I'd emptied the trash cans and I found looking up stuff that fruit flies also spoiled potatoes they like. So I go in our cabinet and I find a thing of like old potatoes and it was disgusting. I won't give you the details, but trashed that and got down to a point where, you know, I saw maybe 15 to 20 fruit flies flying around and flew to Tulsa. And I thought, well, I got rid of the potatoes. They're going to die out while I'm gone. And we got back 4 or 5 days later and there were hundreds of fruit flies again. And so at that point I was like, okay, the sticky traps are inefficient. That's not working. And so I started taking the sticky traps. They were cardboard on the back and you open them up for the sticky. And I started taking the cardboard and just killing them individually. And this was, I don't know, July. And so football season was starting as far as all the work that goes into the season. And so I'd be down in my office, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours, just flow state, working really hard. And so by the time I'd get up, I needed a little bit of time to kind of unwind. And that kind of became my unwind, was to walk around killing fruit flies and like rise up to a place where my mind was in a different place and I could hang out with the family and be engaged there. And I got really good at killing these fruit flies. Like, pay attention to where you can catch groups of 2 or 3 of them at a time, pay attention to the angles that they'd fly up at. And I was, again, killing 40 or 50 of these a day. The numbers were dwindling. And then after a while of that, it was like, there's gotta be something else they're eating. And I went into that potato cabinet again and found another bag of potatoes. And I threw that out. And 2 or 3 days later, all the fruit flies were gone. 100% of the fruit flies were gone. And I think that a lot of times we get to that point where we get really good at walking around and killing the fruit flies with the piece of cardboard. And we get satisfied with that. Whereas if we can just go one level deeper and find the root that's causing this problem, instead of walking around and trying to swap fruit flies, the problem gets solved all at once by finding that root. And so what we're wanting to do in this course is essentially get to this point where we can find the roots that can lead to profitable decisions. And we'll talk in this course, you know, a lot of people play DFS or get into sports betting because they're ultimately looking for a different thing that they can do, right? Something new to do with their time. And a lot of the focus in DFS and sports betting content is, you know, here are some people who do this full time. You could be one of those people too. And that's true. But also, you could learn how to take your money and make money with it and not have to work. You know what I mean? Like, DFS and sports betting can be avenues into making more money that can allow you to make more money. And the thought processes that go into profitable DFS thinking, profitable sports betting thinking, are also thought processes that when you start applying them bigger picture, you can start making more money in other areas. You can start taking more control of your life, more control of your time. And so we want to provide sort of all of those things for you. And so the first step here at this root level is taking control of your time and understanding what that means. So I've worked from home. I did freelance writing for a long time. And you get a lot of practice at managing your time and taking control of it. And essentially there's 168 hours in a week. And I can pretty much, like when I did freelance writing and when it's not football season, I can pretty much dictate what all 168 of those hours look like. So you might be in a position where you're working 40 hours a week, probably don't have a commute these days because of COVID, which has freed up time from what you were used to before. But you might have 4, 5, 6 hours of time that you can take control of. But the goal is understanding how to start taking control of that time that you can take control of and understanding how to apply that to the next steps. So I want to talk about just a simple thing to pay attention to here. And it's this idea of, the way I say it is, am I paying my future self? Am I paying my future self, or essentially am I creating debt to my future self? And if you start paying attention to little things throughout your day, and so an example that stands out to me is dishes in the sink. Like when you finish eating, do you put your dish in the sink or do you put it in the dishwasher? This isn't about dishes, right? Like we're working toward bigger picture things than that, but it's interesting to pay attention to those little habits. Like if you put your dish in the sink, you're saying one of two things. Heaven forbid, one, you're saying somebody else will take care of this, my wife or my mother, or if you're a female watching this, my husband will take care of this dish for me. Or you're saying, I'll take care of that later, which is typically what we say. Or, you know, for me, I've hated emptying the trash since I was a kid because that was always what I had to do, right? And so if the trash is full, it's easy for me to be like, okay, I'll get that next time that I'm in the kitchen. And to start paying attention to those little places, those little patterns, and recognizing that if you start shifting those things and getting in the position where you're saying, I'm going to take control of my time by always paying my future self. What you start finding is you start eliminating energy bleeds for your future self, and you start being able to maximize your time and take more control of the time that you have much more efficiently. And then through that, you're able to expand the amount of time that you're able to take control over. Another thing I want to talk about is kind of this deeper level of how we start shifting our mindsets on these areas. And I was thinking about, it was 2018, and I was talking to a friend. She's, you know, probably in her 60s, woman, and she has money. And we were talking about investment stuff. And I was talking about, well, essentially we were both kind of swapping ideas about what the future will look like, which is, I think, something very valuable to push yourself to think about if you're going to be putting money out there. And so we were talking about what's going to be different 20 years from now, 30 years from now. And we were talking about artificial intelligence. We were talking about cryptocurrency. We were talking about cannabis. We're talking about sports betting, things that will have grown much larger 15, 20 years from now than where they're at now. And so we were having this conversation, and she's pretty far to the right politically. And I said to her, one of the things I'm interested in is what will things look like when AI has taken over? You know, if you read up on things right now in Silicon Valley, they have the technology for us to have 40 or 50% unemployment. The reason why we don't have 40 or 50% unemployment is because they can't put that technology out there yet until we have systems in place. And so I was saying to her, you know, ultimately what they're going to have to figure out is universal basic income. It's going to have to happen because this technology exists, and we've seen it with COVID, right? Like they're not going to let half the country starve. And so they're going to have to figure out some sort of system to put this in play so that, you know, we can have artificial intelligence running things and we have people taken care of who don't have jobs. And so I said that, and she said, doesn't that sound a lot like socialism to you? She said, is that what you want? And I said, I'm not concerned with what I want. I'm concerned with what I see happening. I'm concerned with where I expect things to be going. I'm trying to process this information without judgment. And that's a mindset that we need to be able to get into in DFS play. I think it's very common to say like, well, I have this guy on my season long team, and so I want him on my DFS team, or I'm playing against this guy in season long, and so I don't want him on my roster this week in DFS because I want to be able to root against him. We have to get past that point. We'll actually talk a lot about in this course and in other courses about kind of these hedge strategies of actually how you flip that around. You say, well, if this guy does well, it hurts me over here, so I'm going to account for that by putting myself in position for it to help me over here and set up the math so that I will come out ahead over time regardless of what happens in this type of situation. And so becoming sort of a neutral observer of things and being willing to take emotions out of things and say, I'm not worried about what I expect to happen, but I'm worried about what is going to happen and how I can position myself to take advantage of that. And one of the problems is we're not taught this in school. You know, in school, for the most part, we're taught, you know, if you were fortunate enough to go to like an expensive prep school, you might have been prepared for more of these things. But for most of us, school is largely about memorizing things and passing a test. And it doesn't help you to understand how to problem solve creatively and consistently, and how to level up and break out of this system, right, that you've been prepared for through school. And being in this industry for 7 years now and getting a chance to connect with some really smart people, whether it's Cubs fan or Jonathan Bales, who started Fantasy Labs, or Levitan, who obviously you all know has established The Run, or Cal Spears, who owns, co-owner of RotoGrinders. These really smart guys that I've been able to add a lot of knowledge from these guys to what I've already been learning on my own, and massively accelerate my own learning through some of the people that I've been fortunate enough to be around in this industry. And so our goal is to essentially pass that along to you. We want to give those same lifelines to you. We want to put you in position to make consistently profitable decisions. And it's important to recognize that, you know, why do we talk about taking control of your time? Well, there's no easy ways to reaching a lofty goal. And it's not said in the industry enough. If we're talking about, honestly, let's talk about both sides of this industry. If we're talking about DFS, winning a tournament is a lofty goal. Beating 10,000 people or 30,000 people or 50,000 people who are also all putting in time and working hard is a lofty goal. And it's not talked about like a lofty goal, right? Like we'll get emails where people are like, I haven't won a tournament yet this year. What am I doing wrong? And it's like, well, it's, you're putting in, you know, five rosters. You've got five out of 10,000, you got a 1 in 2,000 chance of winning. And then let's say you have better information and better understanding of what you're doing. You've got a 1 in 1,500 chance of winning. Like, you're beating the odds because you've got a 1 in 1,500 chance of winning, but there's only 17 weeks, right? Like, so if you're going to set lofty goals, you have to understand how to reach those lofty goals. On the other side of this industry, it's talked, you know, betting lines is talked about like you're just going to sit down and bet lines and make money. There are very few people who make money, consistent money, betting lines, right? We're going to talk to you on the site throughout the year. We're going to talk to you in this course about finding the different angles to where you say, rather than, you know, rather than attacking the main slate in DFS, I'll attack showdowns because there's more money there. Rather than attacking lines, I'll attack prop bets because those are easier to beat. But also understanding that beating the lines consistently is a lofty goal. And so if you're going to have a lofty goal, you have to understand how to put in that time, how to take control of your time, and how to maximize the energy that you're putting in. I think that one of the mistakes that people make when they want to get better at DFS is they still treat it like a hobby. And you have to start taking control over everything. You have to take control over everything that you have the time and ability to take control over. So if that's 2 hours, if that's 4 hours a week, if that's 6 hours a week, what do you do when you're in the shower? Once we're back, if we're ever back to commuting, what do you do during your commute? Look around you on a plane. What's everybody doing? You know, everybody's playing Candy Crush. What are you doing with that time that you have, that you're sitting there in the plane, that you can take control over? And so getting to that place where you recognize that these are not easy goals that you're setting. At the same time, they're highly achievable goals, and we have a whole team of people on the site who are consistently achieving these goals. And our entire goal on the site is to not just give information, but to also constantly provide training. So you're on the right path, you're in the right place, but you have to shift over to that mindset where you're realizing this isn't something that we just, you know, click on a seatbelt and go for the ride, and at the end of the season, we're up a bunch of money. You have to start learning how to get good at these things. And when you start learning how to get good at these things, you'll see how it expands your ability in basically every area. So we want you thinking, and honestly, I would encourage you to take notes during this. I know some of you will listen to the audio so you can get it on the move. But especially if you're watching the video, pull up a document on your computer, pull up notes on your phone, pull up a notebook, whatever the case is, and write down some of these things. So one of the things that I would encourage you to write down is we want you thinking primarily about your present and your future. And we'll get into this more in deeper lessons, but specifically how your present and future, how your present is impacting your future in terms of DFS play, sports betting, and other areas. So stop energy leaks, you know, in all these entertainment areas. If you want to get good at these things and know that you can get good at these things, you learn how to start, you know, getting rid of energy leaks in these other areas. And then also saying, like, I'm going to stop thinking about the past, and I'm not going to think about the present the way that I used to think about the present, but I'll think about it in terms of how it impacts my future. And so I do want to make it clear that just by being on this video, you're on the right track. It's something that I talk about regularly in the chat pod, and Sonic talks about this in his course, but recognize that you are on the right track. You are doing the right things, but it's just putting in the time, it's learning, and there's actually a few places in here. So deeper in the course, I'm gonna walk through a couple things. One is I'm gonna walk through what my personal process has looked like from 2015 to now. So you can see sort of what this looks like in action and the sort of time that different things take. But also we're gonna look at some of the things that, like, you're gonna be surprised at some of the things that you can do after 3 or 4 weeks, that things that you would have thought essentially that you needed to rely on me for, and you realize, oh, this is something that I know. This is something that I can do for myself. And we're gonna kind of give you the action steps of what you need to be doing to get to that point where you know these sorts of things. And again, some of these things take time. Some of them, you know, 3 or 4 weeks in, you're gonna be shocked at how much power your knowledge has, essentially how accurate your knowledge in certain areas is. In addition to taking control of the time, there's this element of making your 1 second worth more than other people's 1 second is worth. Making your 1 minute worth more than what other people's 1 minute is worth. So it's not just quantity of time, but it's quality of time. And I look at it this way. There are people who can sit there and watch a 3-hour football game and learn nothing new. There are people who can sit there and watch a 3-hour football game and learn 10 to 15 new things. And there are people who can sit there and watch a 3-hour football game and learn 1,000 new things, right? Like, what level are you at? Are you actually watching the game, or are you disengaged and kicking back and the game's just kind of happening before your eyes? Like, we can start getting to a point where we're paying attention to things and learning things and processing information at a higher level. So one last thing I want to talk about here in this lesson is I also recognize, I'll say it like this, I haven't run since high school. I hate running. That's not my preferred method of working out. And this last week, I sort of randomly started running. Abby and William were out of town, so I had a little extra time. And after I finished my morning workout, I was like, I'll throw a run in here. And by day 3, I got up to 5 minutes. I think I covered like 0.4 miles. If you told me that, so Abby ran a half marathon a couple years ago. If you told me that in order to run a half marathon, I need to essentially be able to run like 7 or 8 miles. And then I'll be able to get out there and adrenaline will kick in and I'll hit that half marathon. Cool. I can't go run 7 or 8 miles. You know what I mean? Like, how do I get to that point first? Give me the steps to get to that point first. And so I understand that just saying, take control of your time is honestly a lot like saying, go out there and run 7, 8, 9 miles in preparation for your half marathon. There are steps that have to be taken between here and there. And that's also what we're going to be looking at throughout this course. But before you go, I want to give you an exercise. And I know that none of us ever do these things. I can't tell you how many articles I've read where it tells you to stop and do something, or videos that I've watched, and you don't do it. You move right past it. I want to encourage you to do this, and it's an interesting exercise, and will kind of help you get a sense of what we're talking about here. As far as this idea of turning each second, each minute into being worth more than what your minute was worth before, what you're engaging in, what you're interacting in, how deep your focus is. So the exercise is this: take a ball, whether it's a tennis ball or a lacrosse ball, or I don't know, whatever else you have at hand, and throw it against the wall and catch it, and try to get up to 50 times. So if you played sports, that's easy enough to do, right? Bounce off the wall and catch it 50 times. Pay attention to what happens in your mind around the 20th or 30th throw. In that range, are you thinking about other things? Are you throwing the ball and you start thinking about other things and you end up, and I thought about this because when William was, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months old, he started like really liking playing with footballs, soccer balls, et cetera. We got him these foam balls, and I'd sometimes stand upstairs and throw it against the wall while hanging out. And every once in a while, you just drop the ball because you're not really paying attention. You know, your muscle memory has kicked in, but you're not paying attention, and you completely miss the ball because you're thinking about something else. Conversely, you can get to that point where you're, you know, what athletes call being in the zone, what creatives typically call a flow state, where you are not thinking about anything else and you're just in that muscle memory and you're focused on the ball and you recognize that you actually see, you know, the seams on the tennis ball coming back to you. I guess they're not seams, whatever that is, the caulking between the rubber caulking on the tennis ball, and you see the lines because you're actually focused on the ball. Pay attention to which side of that you end up on, because it's so easy to get into an activity and lose focus, because now you're in the activity, you put your brain on autopilot. It's like when you're driving and you're on a road trip and your mind is so far away from the road sometimes. Pay attention if that's happening when you're attempting to focus through something. And then the second thing I want to encourage you to pay attention to is what happens on that 45th, 46th, 47th throw. Because ultimately, you would look at that throw no differently than any of the other throws. You wouldn't think any more about the importance of catching that throw. But for most of us, once you get to 46, 47, you start focusing more, and even can move, you know, you see wide receivers who are wide, they'll make a sick sideline catch on their fingertips, and then, you know, the next drive they're wide open on a bomb and drop it. Because when you have that extra time to think about it and think, don't drop this, you know, oh my gosh, I'm at 45, let me focus and make sure I get to 50, you end up making these little mistakes. And what we want to do is we want to get you to that point where you're in the zone, you're in that flow state, and you're making decisions based on your high level of confidence and all the time and effort that you've put in, and you're confident in the fact that your process is solid and everything that you've been doing leading up to that is solid. And you're able to rely on that to where this year, when your stud who's in 30% of your lineups gets scratched an hour and 15 minutes before kickoff because of COVID, you don't freak out and you don't worry about whether or not you can make the right decisions, because you're so confident in your feel for the slate that in that hour you just drop in, you do the work, you don't think of it any differently than anything else you did the rest of the weekend. Getting you to that point where you're able to just feel confident in exactly how you're handling things, feel confident in your knowledge. And we want to essentially get down to your foundation, get down to the roots that will produce fruit at that point. And so a lot of questions that come in, a lot of talks in this industry, it's focused on the fruit that we want to see. And we're wanting to kind of go a level deeper, a layer deeper, and say, what are the roots that produce this fruit, that produces this level of confidence, that produces this level of consistent results? And it's not popular to say it takes work, but it's very much worth it. You know, I'll say it again at the end of the course, but it takes time to make it work, but that time is worth it. It does work. And so getting you to that point where you feel comfortable and confident in how you're approaching NFL and in your knowledge and in the way that you have your feet under you. So I'm going to talk real quickly through what we're going to have in this course for you. And then I'll see you on the other side of this lesson. So obviously we have this first lesson, video lesson. Obviously you have audio as well. So if you want to listen to it on the go, of taking control over time. The next lesson is going to be developing a process. And we're gonna have a video for that with audio, obviously. I'm also going to have two screen share videos for you where I walk you through how I run my week and how I handle my notes to organize that, to get you a feel for what this can look like in action. And I say it all the time, each of our minds works differently. So you might have 20% overlap with me in the way your mind works, or you might have 90% overlap with me in the way your mind works. So we'll be able to find that, and then you'll be able to find, okay, what can I take from JM that I can apply to my own self? And we'll be able to do that through the screen shares. We also have a written section on developing a process that focuses a little bit more on NFL, whereas we're able to focus more on the big picture stuff in the video for developing a process. We have a lesson on applying all of this to the bigger picture. So we have, again, a video on applying this to the bigger picture, and then we have a written piece called On Being Here that applies all of this to the bigger picture, because realistically, we want to apply this to the bigger picture before we're applying it to DFS, because our upside, your upside is much bigger than just making 75 to 100,000 a year off of DFS and sports betting. Your upside is higher than hitting the Millie Maker even. You know what I mean? Like there's more to this than that, and there's more upside to this than that. And so hence us focusing so much on kind of the bigger picture and applying this to everything. Lesson four is one I'm obviously really excited about, which is applying all of this to the NFL. So we're going to have a video with the audio. We're going to have two written pieces on applying this to the NFL. We're also going to have my upside guide and my cash game guide, which has some questions that you can essentially compare your roster to these questions and ask yourself these questions each week to ensure that you're hitting the right things in these areas. We have another audio bonus that kind of goes off some of the things we'll be working through there. We're going to have an audio piece in applying this to the NFL where we break down essentially the thought process behind finding blocks of guaranteed points. We have an audio bonus. It's also in Zandamir's, tossed it in as a bonus in Zandamir's single game course. But we have audio lesson on essentially how to think through a single game, which can then be applied to how to think through an entire slate. And then as far as thinking through a game, I recognize that there's a piece of this that teams are so fluid, right? When I talk about, I want you to know the NFL and be able to think about how these teams interact with one another. I want you to be able to think for yourself about how these two teams will interact in the environment of a single game. And what typically gets asked after that is, well, what is this team like? What is this team like? What is this team like? And rather than hammering down thoughts that in 2-3 weeks become obsolete because NFL teams are so fluid and they're always changing, they're always trying new things. What we're going to do, obviously the biggest, we'll talk about this throughout the course, but it's accumulated knowledge is where you start getting so much. So for me, if Pat Shurmur goes from the Vikings to the Giants to the Broncos, at this point, I know who Pat Shurmur is, I know what his philosophies are, I know what he likes to do, and then I know who the pieces are on the Giants. I know who the pieces are on the Broncos. So using Pat Shurmur as the example, he is one of the few coaches who's just really relentless about actually getting the ball to his best players. He's also really good about then designing his offense around what his best players do best. And so where the Giants had a lot of short passing last year with Odell Beckham gone and Sterling Shepard and Golden Tate, so it's easy for people to think, oh, so the Broncos are going to be a short passing attack. That's probably not going to be the case because Pat Shurmur comes in and he adjusts based on the talent that he has, the fact that he has Cortland Sutton, he has Noah Fant, he has Drew Lock's mobility. And so, you know, understanding these different things, that comes with time, and that comes with reading the NFL Edge. So if you've been with the NFL Edge since 2016, you know a lot more about football than the average fan. But we also want to get your feet under you as far as what are the high level things. Like I talk about Pat Shurmur right there. That's what you really need to know, is what is each team's identity? How is each team trying to win games? You look at, you know, a run play rate of 50%. Let's say, and to put this in context, if you don't read the NFL Edge, you know, a team that passes a lot, they're going to be about 65% pass, 35%. The Chiefs are going to be 65% pass, 35% run. The Seahawks, the Lions, the Titans, the Washington football team in 2019, you know, all were closer to 50% run rate. But that doesn't tell the whole story. Why do they run the ball? So the Titans would run the ball to do a lot of boot action and flood concepts and get Tannehill on the move and get the defense moving one way and get the passing attack flowing the other way. Actually, a lot of like Shanahan and McVay level concepts. The Seahawks and Lions both run the ball to set up deep passing. So it's not apples to apples, right? You look at a team that runs the ball 50% of the time, and you say, well, that's bad for wide receivers. Not necessarily, right? Like, you'd rather the team that's passing the ball 50% of the time and taking shots downfield to Kenny Golladay, to Marvin Jones, to Tyler Lockett, to DK Metcalf, than the team that's the Washington football team and they're running the ball 50% of the time to try to just condense the game. They say, we don't have a good team. Let's make this game as short as possible and hope that we win based on a few mistakes from the other team. And so there's different layers at all these things. And so we're going to have an NFL team IDs section in applying this to the NFL, where we're going to have about a minute and a half of audio per team. I say a minute and a half, I haven't recorded it yet. And you guys know me, it's probably gonna be more like 2 to 3 minutes. And then we'll have a sort of a bullet point layout of each team as well. So you can understand, how is this team trying to win games? What is their philosophy? How are they approaching things? And that gets your feet under you for a lot of what you need to know for understanding how two teams will interact. Finally, we will have a fifth lesson on making profitable decisions. And this applies to all areas, but we will have a video where we kind of talk higher level again. And then we have two audio lessons where we had a guy who is awesome and went through like 50 hours of chat pods and basically pulled out every single question that had been asked in the chat pod the last 2 years. And if you're not a subscriber, the chat pod is where people ask questions throughout the week, and we encourage these questions to be evergreen questions about sports betting, about DFS, about process. So it's not about that week's slate. So about 80% of the questions are about the things that we're going to be talking about throughout this course. And so he pulled every question that had been asked through 50 hours of chat pods, my answers to those questions, the timestamps for all of them so that I kind of reference those, and pull them into a hierarchy of what are the main questions that people are asking and what are the roots that we need to get to on the answers for those. So we have two bonus audio lessons at the end that are DFS questions and answers, and we're basically taking like the core questions that get asked most often or that we feel are most valuable and hitting on those. So obviously, you know, we put this together as a way for us to get a lot more into your hands than we could get if you and I were sitting down and you were spending $1,200 to spend 10 hours learning about these things, and to really put you in position to be able to take this, you know, as we say, there are people who know the NFL really well and they're not good at DFS, and there are people who don't know the NFL well and are good at DFS. There are people who know the NFL really well and don't make money betting on sports, and there are people who don't know the NFL as well and do make money. And so what's the missing ingredient there? That's what we want to get down to. We want to get down to that root level. We want to find that second bag of potatoes that's causing fruit flies to proliferate in your home, and that, you know, take you out of that space where you are getting really good at killing all the fruit flies, and instead get to the point where there are no more fruit flies because you've gotten down to the root and put yourself in position to be profitable. So we'll leave it at that for now. I will see you on the other side of, I guess the next lesson is developing a process. And so I'll see you on the video. We'll start with the video there and kind of move through the next steps from there. So thanks so much for hanging out. Really excited that you're here. And if you're not ready to purchase the course yet, if 150 is steep for you, actually I want to make this last quick mention. If you're playing $60 a weekend, if you're playing $60 a weekend between showdowns and DFS play, sports betting, everything, if you're playing $60 a weekend, you're basically paying for this course in rake throughout the year. And so that's a good way to kind of assess the value. And, you know, I wrote down that essentially that's a hidden cost. The rake is a hidden cost, and this is a real cost. But this is a real cost that puts you in position to beat that hidden cost, because these things are not 50-50 games. Sports betting is not a 50-50 game. You have to beat the VIG as well. DFS is not just being better than the other players. You have to be better than the other players and plus that percentage that gets taken out in the rake. And so if you are paying $150 throughout the season in rake, in VIG, you know, it's worth it to have this course in hand, this training in hand, and to become better at this. And again, this is going to pay itself off in a lot of areas, not just in DFS and sports betting. That's our goal for you. So we want to turn you into high-level thinkers, people who can get down to these deeper levels and really just build a process that eliminates energy leaks and leads to profitable decisions over time. So I'm going to get out of here, and I will see you on the other side from here.